You're listening to SBS News.
Russia's military assault on Ukraine has intensified after forces began shelling Europe's biggest nuclear power station. The Zaporizhia plant in Enerhoda in the country's south accounts for one quarter of Ukraine's power generation. A spokesperson for the plant, Andriy Tus, says a fire broke out at the facility as a result of the attack.
Warning. Equipment of the Russian Federation is firing on the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. There is a real threat of a nuclear danger at the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe. We demand that they stop the heavy weapons fire at the energy blocks of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. I repeat, stop the heavy weapons fire at the energy blocks of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant.
It's since been reported that the plant is safely being shut down and that the fire is said to be at a training building and not at the reactors. As Russia's invasion of Ukraine enters its second week, President Vladimir Putin has delivered another televised address to update his country on the conflict. The speech appears designed to stoke nationalist sentiment and counter assessments by Western governments that Russia's campaign in Ukraine has stumbled in the face of logistical problems, tactical mistakes, and fiercer than expected resistance. Mr. Putin says his country's military operations in Ukraine are going according to plan.
Dear comrades, I want to say that the special military operation is proceeding strictly in line with the timetable, according to plan. All the tasks that have been set are being successfully resolved.
The West is continuing to add pressure on Russia to abandon its campaign in Ukraine. More Western companies, including Nike and IKEA, will close their operations in Russia. The leaders of the so-called Quad Alliance of Australia, the United States, India and Japan have condemned the Ukraine conflict, and the United States and Britain have announced more sanctions on Russian oligarchs. The United States' new sanctions target Putin's press secretary Dmitry Peskov and Alisher Buhanovich Usmanov, one of Russia's wealthiest individuals and a close ally of Vladimir Putin, U.S. President Joe Biden.
The severe economic sanctions on Putin and all those folks around him, choking off access to technology as well as cutting off access to the global financial system. It's had a profound impact already. And the goal was to maximize the impact on Putin and Russia and to minimize the harm on us and our allies and friends around the world. Our interest is in maintaining the strongest unified economic impact campaign that on Putin in all history. And I think we're well on the way to doing that.
Meanwhile, the International Criminal Court is now investigating Russia for possible war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. The ICC has sent a team of investigators to Ukraine, telling Reuters evidence that Russia has targeted civilians and civilian infrastructure would be a crime under international law. Russia denies it's targeting civilians, but many have been killed in shelling and airstrikes in residential areas. Swathes of Kharkiv, Ukraine's second city of 1.5 million people, have been blasted into rubble, while the main port city of Mariupol is also under attack by Russian troops and now has no water or power. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has urged the West to offer stronger military assistance to Ukraine and prodded Western leaders to enforce a no-fly zone over Ukraine to deny access to Russian warplanes. And Mr. Zelensky has challenged Mr. Putin to sit down and talk to him.
What do you want from us? Go away from our land. You don't want to leave now? Sit down with me at the negotiation table. I'm available. Sit with me, but not at 30 metres like you welcomed Macron and Scholz and others. I'm your neighbour. You don't need to keep me at a 30-metre distance. I don't bite. I'm a normal man. Sit down with me. Let's talk. What are you afraid of?
Mr. Zelensky's invitation came as Russian and Ukrainian officials held a second round of peace talks in Belarus. Ukraine's presidential adviser, Mykhailo Podolyak, says the talks hadn't reached the results he expected, but issues about food, medicine and evacuation were discussed. Mr. Podolyak says the sides also agreed to allow for humanitarian corridors in Ukraine for civilians fleeing intensifying fighting and to transport essential supplies.
The parties have reached an understanding about joint provision of humanitarian corridors for evacuation of civilians, and also for the delivery of medicaments and food to the places where the most hostile fighting takes place, with the possibility, I underline with the possibility, to temporary ceasefire in the evacuation sector during the period of evacuation. It means we won't be everywhere. Potential ceasefire will only be observed at the places where the humanitarian corridors will be created during the evacuation.
The agreement was the only tangible progress from the talks between Moscow and Kyiv, and it's not immediately clear how the corridors would work. But the United Nations says the conflict is creating a refugee crisis with unprecedented speed. In just 7 days since the invasion began, 1 million people have fled the country, while many more have been internally displaced. The UN's High Commissioner for Refugees estimates 2% of Ukraine's population of 44 million people has been on the move this past week. And UNHCR's Filippo Grandi is warning if the conflict continues, that number could get as high as 4 million or more.
I have worked in refugee emergencies for almost 40 years, and rarely have I seen an exodus as rapid as this one. Hour by hour, minute by minute, more people are fleeing the terrifying reality of violence. Countless have been displaced inside the country. And unless there is an immediate end to the conflict, millions more are likely to be forced to flee Ukraine.
Claire Slattery, SBS News.